All right, good singing all the way around. That's just a blessing from on high. That's an oldie but goldie song we used to sing way back when. And so we're glad to see you here this morning, all right? Did Brother Baker get sick? Went to the car? All right then. I just was curious. I noticed that he was here and then he was gone. And then I looked back up there and I thought, hey, that's not Brother Baker. He's got too much hair. And all that right there on top of his head. Get it? You're getting the picture? All right. All right, take your Bible, if you will, please, to the book of Hebrews. And Hebrews in chapter number 9, if you find the place and you're able to stand. We'll look there in Hebrews in chapter number 9. And there's a passage or two that we'll look at here this morning. Verse number 23 in the Hebrews in chapter number 9. It was therefore necessary that the patterns of things in heavens should be purified with these, but with the heavenly things themselves with better sacrifices than these. For Christ has not entered into the holy place made with hands, which are the figures of the true, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us. Nor yet that he should offer himself often, as the high priest entered into the holy place every year with the blood of others. For then must he often have suffered and since the foundation of the world. But now once in the end of the world hath he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. And as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment. So Christ once offered to bear the sins of many. And unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. Our Father, we ask your blessings upon the reading of the word. We do thank you for it, how good it is to be in the house of God. I want to say thank you, Lord, for loving us even while we were unlovable. Thank you for saving me. Dear God, I am glad that I've been able to enjoy the trip. And ever since the day that I got born into the family of God, there may be others here this morning. They say, preacher, I need Christ as my Lord and Savior. May they trust him with all their heart, soul, and might. We'll thank you in advance. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you and be seated. I want to preach a little while that if I might this morning. And entitled, Figures, Facts, and Faith. Now, you know, everything that we go through here, there are some things that the Bible said were figures. You know, the blood of bulls and goats, it was a figure of shed blood, the innocent, going ahead and giving a sacrificial life and death, and it was only a figure. But when Christ died and shed his blood, it was more than a figure, it was a very much of a fact. And by the way, that whenever you get saved by the grace of God, I got to tell you, is that you're going to find out is that your life is a messed up life before you ever come to Christ. Now, once you come to know the Lord Jesus Christ, he's got it all straightened out, and he's made all things new. And I got to tell you right up front is that you'll find out that in the day and hour that we're living in is that people are wondering, you know, well, I believe the story of the virgin birth, that Jesus was born and laid in Bethlehem's manger and all that, and died on the cross and gave up the ghost, bowed his head, said it's finished, and then resurrected the third day and won victory over death, hell, and the grave. I know all of that, and I know you know that, and you believe that intellectually. But it'll never be real enough to save your soul until God works in your heart and does something real. I remember now, of course, here I am, and as you already know, I'm closer to going to where I'm headed than where I came from. But I can remember that when I had joined the church and was a young man and a young lad, I remember that. I grew up in church. I went Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. Well, we even went to business meeting night. I got in trouble more than one time on business meeting night because I would make a motion. I make a motion that we go home. They didn't appreciate it as much as you did. I said all that to be able to say this, is that all that time that I was going to church, that was but a figure. But, you know, I was ready to get up, get out, go on, and get on with life. But boy, the day that I got saved, he put me into the church of the living God, and he put my feet upon the solid rock, and he established my going, and he put me to looking for Jesus to come again. Ever since the day I got saved, I've been looking for Jesus to come again. Every now and again, you know, you'll get sidetracked with some of the world, the flesh, and the devil. But if you're a child of God, really, he don't let you take your eyes off the possibility that he could come today very long at a time. In this Bible lesson that we're looking at, you're going to find out that this chapter deals with them who were looking for the Lord and the Savior, Jesus Christ. Look in verse 28 that we read of our text. So Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time. Are you looking for Jesus to come? I guarantee you right now, if you're a child of God, you can't help but look for him to come. That's what he did for you. I got to say to you, time's going to be running out. The closer the coming of the Lord, the faster it seemed like the time is just moving along. I mean, here we are right now, and it's not moving as fast along as some of you are moving, because y'all are wanting April the 1st to be tomorrow, and it's not until Tuesday. But it's coming. And I got to tell you right now is that if it doesn't come, even so come Lord Jesus. I was thinking about whenever you begin to look into this Bible lesson that's here, that when you got washed by the blood and born into the family of God, listen, the day that I got saved, the same way you got saved, God came knocking on my heart's door. And he was about to add me, literally, to his body, to his church, to what I already had been figuratively introduced to for a long time. You know why the average Baptist is in the mess they're in? It's because of that very thing I'm telling you. They've been through all the figuratively motion. They've been through the motion without getting born again to the family of God. But boy, one day God came knocking and he was about to literally do what I figuratively had already done. And I want to tell you what, there's a difference in it. In this Bible lesson that you're looking at, you're going to find out, do not lose your text there. But I want you to look over in the book of Acts, and I want you to hold a passage there, and I want you to see it in a moment. Acts, I believe it's in chapter number 17. Now, this Bible said that as you look at it, that it's an appointed time that we live in. And I want to tell you something. There was a time, the Bible said, that it's appointed unto men once to die. And you know, every now and again, you'll find somebody's wanting to sell a book. Somebody died, they went to heaven. They stayed in heaven, they said, and they claimed. Then they came back, and they came back, and they're able to tell you all about the wonderful place in heaven. You'll see every now and again somebody selling a book or selling some kind of paraphernalia, information, or whatever that. That's not true. The Bible said that it's appointed unto men once to die. Now, there's no doubt that some things happen, and every now and again, some odd things that happen, that people that probably drift off, and some people, you know, we used to say, well, yeah, they ate bad pizza, and they had some kind of hallucination. I don't want to put it all into that, but I will tell you this, that if you ever die and leave this world and meet Jesus Christ, you're not going to want to come back here. And make no mistake about it, when you begin to look into it, there's an appointed time because there's an appointed man. Look in Acts chapter 17. I want you to look at about verse number 30. And the times of this ignorance God winked at, but now commanded all men everywhere to repent. Now because he had appointed a day in which that he will judge the world in righteousness by that man. Who is that man he's talking about? He's talking about Jesus Christ. By that man whom that he hath ordained, and wherefore he hath given assurance unto all men, in that he hath raised him from the dead. Now, I want to tell you something. When they heard of the resurrection of the dead, some mocked. And others said, we'll hear thee again of this matter. So Paul departed from among them, and so forth and on. I mean, some of them, you know, they were busy jeering at him, pooching their lip out, making fun of him. And said, verse 34, but howbeit some men clave unto him and believe among them which were Dionysus and Areopagite, and a woman named Demarius, and others with them. In other words, here's what happened. There were some that derided and made fun of the resurrected Savior. There were some that deferred and said, I'm going to wait and hear it another day. But there were some that decided and they believed on the Lord. And let me tell you something. When God lets you believe upon His Son, His only begotten Son, who not only died on the cross, was buried in the tomb, and resurrected the third day according to the Scriptures, it'll be by that man that you're put into the family of God. Now, in the lesson that we're looking at, let me say to you that, if you will, is that we're talking about being resurrected from the dead. You're going to find out that He paid the price, and so therefore He won the right. Somebody said, well, you know what, if I don't want to believe in Jesus to the saving of my soul, that's your prerogative, that's your privilege. But if you're ever going to be able to miss hell and make heaven, you're going to have to come to Jesus Christ, and Jesus Christ alone, as an empty-handed beggar, and be born into the family of God. I want to say to you that Christ paid the sin debt. And back over there in our text in the book of Hebrews in chapter number 9 and about verse number 26 is that you'll find the way that when Jesus Christ, in the end of the world, He gave His life one time. He didn't have to do it over and over. And you'll find out that He put away sin by the sacrifice of Himself. Now, I don't know about you, but I'm glad to be able to know Him in the free pardon of sin. One of the true evidences of being born again is that you're looking for Jesus to come again. In this lesson here, you'll find that the procrastinator that puts off till another time, that puts off till tomorrow what they ought to be doing right now. I want to tell you something. You'd better be careful. You'd be like the five foolish virgins that kept putting it off, and they didn't go buy that oil until the Lord came. And boy, they began to ask the other virgins to give them of that oil, and they said, no, we can't do it, lest there be not enough for ourselves. I want to say to you that when you begin to look into it, is that put it off no longer. When God comes knocking on your heart's door and He's about to wash your sins away by His precious blood, be glad that He's done so and receive it in the full payment of sin. Now, I want to say to you that in the lesson that we're looking at, you'll find that Christ paid the sin debt for every person. Did you notice that He shed His blood, that He cleansed us from sin, that He clears our conscience? And by the way, let me tell you, entrance to heaven will be by the blood of the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. In this lesson here that we're looking at, do you know you can join a church without the blood? But you can't go to heaven without the blood. That's what He's trying to say. See, a lot of time people are busy. Hey, if you died today, would you go to heaven? Well, I guess all too. I've been a Methodist or been a Baptist or I've been something for all these many years. I'm not asking about your denomination. I'm asking about your destination. See, you can join the church without the blood, but you can't get born again into the family of God without the blood. And let me say to you that whenever you get saved by the grace of God, you'll know that and realize that. You'll find that you cannot go to heaven without the blood being sprinkled upon the mercy seat that is in heaven. And let me tell you right now is that's where the blood's been applied. Had it not been for the grace of God and the mercy of God, I'd still be on the road to hell without hope and without God. Now, notice in the lesson that we're looking at, you're going to find out that over there in the book of Hebrews in chapter number 9 that we were looking at, that we were reading about, you're going to find out is that whenever the Ark of the Covenant, and there on the inside of the Ark of the Covenant, they had the golden pot. And you'll find out is that they had Aaron's rod that budded. And they had the tables of content, which were the Ten Commandments that were there in that. And let me say to you that, if you will, that the difference between what is given there in Hebrews 9, 6 through 7, and in Hebrews 9, 12 through 14, the difference is between that which is flesh and that which absolutely is by faith and by the blood of the Lamb. Make no mistake about it, Jesus Christ is the true, the way, the truth, and the life. No man can come to the Father, He said, but by me. In this lesson we're looking at, you'll find out is that you want to have a clear conscience. Well, let me tell you something. If you come to Christ as an empty-handed beggar, He's the only one that can save you. He's the only one that can forgive you. He's the only one that can cleanse you and can make you whole. notice in chapter number 9 that we've read, and the Bible says in about verse number 28, so Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many. Now I wonder why he says that. Whenever over in John 3:16 he says, for God so loved the world, not just many, but the world. Well, let me tell you, God does love the world. And you could be saved by the grace of God if you'd but come to him as an empty-handed beggar. But there are many, and not many in verse number, all of them are saved. Jesus died for the many. I'm one of them. If you're saved, you're one of them. If you're not saved, you can become one of them. Jesus died for the many, that whosoever would come to him as an empty-handed beggar and repent toward God and by grace be saved by the grace of God. I want to tell you something. Real grace will save your soul. It'll separate you from the world, the flesh, and the devil. And let me tell you, it'll put you into looking for the second coming of the Lord. You ever going to do something or this or that, and then you stopped a minute and thought, well, if it be the will of the Lord. Because you, now you're conscientious of the fact, and you're pointing it out. Lord willing. I had a man one time, and I was over here, I'm going to go here to the flea market and get rich. I'm going to rent a booth, get rich, and sell some of the stuff that I've got. And if you sold everything that I ever owned. Some guy was trying to sell me a used Ford Travel. What do you call that? Ford Travel that you can drive, you know, motorhome. I said, man, that is nice. That is really nice. What's you had to get for that? Oh, he said, we sold our home and sold everything. This is what we live in. He said, it's $500,000. I said, really? Yeah. So if I were to sell everything I owned, have they got one that maybe that you could buy for, I don't know, $4,000 or $5,000? Do you realize that if I sold everything that I own and throw these boots in that my wife bought me, and throwed in that pair that Brother John bought me, and throwed in everything that this church has ever bought me. But I'm trying to tell you, it would not be no $500,000, I can promise you that. I got to tell you something. Is that I said, all right, well, we're fixing to load up and be gone. We don't get out here. We don't sail on Sunday, and we're going to church, and hey, you're going to be back next month, Lord willing. He said, well, you already know it's going to be the will of the Lord. I said, well, no, I don't. I don't know that it'll be the will of the Lord, but I plan to come this way, Lord willing. Do you know that after that blasphemous statement that he made, between that day and the next time it came to for us to meet out there, he had a heart attack and died. See? There's a man trying to tell me what the will of God is, but I can promise you he wasn't looking for Jesus to come. Like it, lump it, love it, or leave it, I can promise you the Lord's going to come one of these days. Are you ready for him? Are you looking for him? You know, the Bible said Christ offered to bear the sins of many. And let me tell you, if you're actually saved tonight, you're one of them. If you're, oh, well, this morning, I've said tonight, I don't know what I'm thinking about. I guess I'm thinking about tonight's service, but not about that. To bring that up, I was thinking about one time we was in a revival meeting. Y'all remember Jack Thrift. Old Brother Thrift, he was, I liked him. He didn't get along with women real good, but I liked him. And anyhow, we was at a place and preaching or something like that. And they called on Jack to lead in the invitation song. It's on Sunday morning. Sunday morning, you got it? And he starts out, and he's singing, gives everybody the number. And so, well, we're all ready. Everything's just right. And he starts out, oh, do not let the world depart and close thine eyes against the light. Something about sinner, sinner, be saved, oh, tonight. It's Sunday morning. I said, how about let's sing in something about being saved on Sunday morning? every now and again, we just get crazy and mess up a little bit on here, there, and yon. Are you saved this morning? Well, you can be. If so be that you're one of the many that's willing to repent toward God. God granted repentance. I don't know about you, but I'm sort of like you when I got saved. I've heard some of you say it. I'm just sick of myself like it is. I'm sick of myself. And boy, I tell you what, it was good to get washed by the blood and have new life, life everlasting, flowing from Emmanuel's veins into mine. I wonder this morning, what do you want from him? Do you want the flesh? Do you want a bunch of figures? Do you want a bunch of fables? Or do you really want the facts of what God's given in the Bible concerning his blessed Son? Let's stand together and get ready to dismiss. Our Father, we want to say thank you for loving us even while we've been unlovable. I pray that now you'd save the lost and lift up the downhearted and set the captives free. We want to say thank you, Lord, that thou art God and beside thee there is none else. There may be a man, a woman, a boy, a girl, you've been troubling them about their soul's condition. What if, like that man, their heart quits beating? May, dear God, you examine each and every one of us to see whether we be in the faith. And we'll thank you for loving us in Jesus' name. Amen.